Hi there, I'm Richard Hill, the host of EconWatt One. Welcome to episode 127. In this episode, I speak with Jim Diath, Sales and Marketing Director at Valley & Peak. Valley & Peak have risen to fastly becoming a household name when it comes to outdoor brands for hikers, campers, and van lifers. In this episode, Jim talks about pivotal moments in growing Valley & Peak, what Jim sees as his biggest challenge over the next few months and what he's doing to prepare for it, how Jim works with ambassadors and influencers and the reality of a spray and a pray approach. We talk about website conversion and building loyalty, Jim's advice on choosing an agency partner for your PPC and SEO, and so much more in this one. If you enjoy this episode, hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you are listening to this podcast, so you're always the first to know when a new episode is released. Now, let's head over to this fantastic episode. This episode is brought to you by EconOne, e-commerce marketing agency. EconOne works purely with e-commerce stores, scaling their Google Shopping, SEO, Google Search, and Facebook ads through a proven performance-driven approach. Go to econone.com/resources for a host of amazing resources to grow your paid and organic channels. Hi, and welcome to another episode of EconWatt One. Today's guest, Jim Diath, Sales and Marketing Director at Valley & Peak. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm really good. How are you?
I am really good. Really good. We're not too far away, are we? I think we're about an hour away from each other, which is quite rare on the EconWatt One podcast, to be fair. We're normally juggling time zones and whatnot, but great to have you on. Great to have you on. So I think it will be great to start off with, if you want to introduce yourself and your sort of journey into e-commerce and how you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. So sort of by accident, I suppose. So I was in a corporate job and miserable like most people in nice big corporate jobs. My father started up like a hobby business alongside his, and we're making ultralight backpacking quilts. My mum was actually doing all the manufacturing, and you know, it started like a nice little hobby, and I had my eye in. I was like, this could be something. Just watching it, and then I just got really bored of my job, and it took its toll with, you know, starting at 5:30, finishing at 11:30 at night. You know, it was boring. I mean, that probably hasn't changed that much now, but the hours tend to stick around. But yeah, it was just a moment where my father just sort of said, you know, there is a way we can get you involved here, and it can completely change the way the business works. And that was pretty much it. And last July, I joined forces and took it from being essentially what was going to be a cottage industry company, and had no idea of being a big e-commerce business and not growing at all, to, you know, where we are now. It's just mind blowing. I can't quite keep sort of contact of what's going on. So bit of a pinch myself moment.
Yeah, brilliant. I think a lot of people relate to that when they, you know, I think quite a lot of e-com stores quite often start with either, you know, we'll just try and sell one of those things, you know, or just we'll just buy a couple of those bits and fast forward. You know, and, you know, in a lot of the guests we have on, you know, it's then, you know, then it's that first day where we got an order, you know, and then we got 10 orders, then we got, you know, 100 orders, then we did, you know, hit the milestones of 100 grand, 200 grand, half a mil, 5 mil, 10. And obviously you're very, you know, early stages still in this journey, but just a phenomenal story, which, you know, we'll get into. But what would you say has been the most pivotal moment sort of growing Valley & Peak to date? I mean, it is early days, isn't it?
It is such early days, yeah. And it's a weird one because it actually links into you. It was actually around this exact table where I first had the pivotal moment call with you. And it was realizing the value of PPC for us. So it was that, like, pinpointing like an instant sale and taking us from being like everything was organic with a very okay-ish following on Instagram and Twitter, where that was our marketing, really. PPC was massive for us, and having such a user-friendly site that sort of eventually came on in June this year. So I suppose both of those sort of made sure that our customers had something that they could see that we sell. You know, before, no one was seeing that we sold anything, and everything was hidden away. So, you know, having the PPC and the new site was game-changing for us. That's making it really, like, user friendly and quick, and it just feels really nice. Yeah, and we essentially went from doing small numbers to just shooting up in sales. And it was, in fact, it was on the second day of my honeymoon when the new site went live, and we had this awesome new PPC feed that went in, and it was just like, wow, what's going on? And I did promise Emily that I wouldn't look at my phone.
You lied.
But, you know, a new website. I completely lie. She doesn't know this still. So if she listens to the podcast, then I am really sorry, Em. I did look at my phone. but no, it was just so exciting, and I kept seeing it ping up. And like,
yeah.
More orders. What's going on? And it was literally just the new site just exploding, and PPC allowing us to utilize that great new feed that we had.
Yeah.
But I suppose in a nutshell, it was really just working with agencies that had the expertise and let us push our Google marketing. So there's a nice plug for you. But
well, we didn't plan this exactly, but
no, we didn't.
you know, Jim rang into the agency, didn't you? What's the timeline? About 18 months ago?
Yeah, it probably was about that. Yeah.
You rang in. We'd been recommended to you. I think through a family member, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, and my brother. Yeah,
we had a chat, and obviously, you were sort of had some plans, but we just needed to. Right, hang on a minute. We've got to get this thing. You know, we've got to make it work as we go. You know, you know, and get a return pretty much as we go. You know, and so it was like, right, we're not going to do everything. You know, we're going to start with one thing, and that one thing was Google Shopping primarily, wasn't it, and some search ads.
Yeah.
And that was 18 months ago. But then it was clear that it was working, definitely. But then, you know, we wanted a better user experience to get a better conversion from the site. So that's where we introduced to one of our partners, you know, on the development and the design side. And then, this summer, gone, obviously, we launched and they launched with you a new site. Mm-hmm. And that, obviously, those two moments of us having that chat. And obviously, we do quite a few services with you now, or you do quite a few services with us, should I say. And PPC was the first. So that's great to hear. That sort of makes my day sort of thing, you know, really, really does from an initial chat. And here we are 18 months later, you know, and, it's quite a good story. You know, I know, obviously, the guys that work with you on a day-to-day basis, you know, they love working on your account. You know, it helps that, the product set is obviously just an insanely nice product set to work with, you know, and the investment you've made, you know, in the design, look, feel, you know, which helps what we're doing. Because ultimately, you know, we can hit stumbling blocks if site owners aren't, forthcoming with them investing in their site, shall we say, when we're when we're tasked to make PPC work. It can be challenging if the site's poor, you know, clearly. So, but that was, you know, it's great that you sort of took our advice and trusted us. So, you know, thank you for that.
Yeah, too right. And I think that's been sort of part of the success is just listening to people that have been doing this for a long time. Yeah. You know, you can only really listen to people's successes, and then you just pick what you need to use to add to your toolkit and to make your business more successful.
Yeah.
It's definitely the case in e-commerce, isn't it? I mean, it's a minefield, so...
Yeah, that's great. So if you could pinpoint one thing that's led to the success of Valiant Peak as an e-commerce business, you know, what would you say that is? Obviously, we've talked about the ads, we've talked about, you know, the new site, but is there anything else, or is there one thing around like the product set and the way that you sort of target and things like that? Or what would you say on that?
Yeah, so it's always really been in my mind, and even prior to Valiant Peak, it's just been great customer service. And I think my father taught me this years and years and years ago, but that's what he learned in his business was, you know, just have great customer service is a great place to start. So we've always gone the extra mile for our customers and generally pushing things further than we probably should to make customers completely satisfied.
Yeah.
I'm essentially not happy unless my foot is firmly on the gas with customer service.
Yeah.
We're almost to the point where actually we are so grateful for every single one of our customers buying something. And we do genuinely feel that with every single new customer and every repeat customer that comes back to us. It's like we are treating every customer like the next and always offer the best of our abilities when we're doing it.
Yeah.
And then I suppose that our success is just stemmed from that. Like feeling of being looked after, I suppose. Not all companies you deal with, especially online, have that ethos. And plus, we always put a little bag of Skittles into every parcel. So,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
yeah, no, if it tends to happen, it maybe will happen this year. I'll send you a box of Skittles. So, I tend to do it with the ambassadors we work with as well. And it's, yeah, it's just something we did from day one. And it started with Haribo. And then we realized it wasn't vegan. So we changed it to Skittles.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and it's really good. And you know, if we're doing certain items, we'll pop a little sticker in there as well. And it's just very small things that allowed us. Yeah, the little details really matter because it allows people to talk about it on social media. It allows us to engage that little bit more. And yeah, it can be a nice little thing. It's funny when you get returns or exchanges, though, and they send the Skittles back. You think, no.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's quite nice, though, isn't it? That's quite cute that they're doing that. But yeah, they don't have to send the Skittles back because they got the wrong, maybe, size, or, you know, they ordered the wrong order. So customer service, good old-fashioned customer service. I think, you know, it is massively overlooked, isn't it, that?
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to differentiate, trying to stand out in every market. It's quite crowded, you know, so that investment in the look and feel and brand is one thing that we talked about in the start. But then, okay, you've got that order, you know, because you've got an amazing setup, amazing site, you know, and it really does look amazing, you know, really, really good. But then, you know, you've got that package has been received, you know, and if you think about the packages that you get through a week or a month of the things you buy, you know, that is an experience, isn't it? And how you know, that box is opened and what is in there and how it's packaged. If it's just thrown in and it's rattling around and there's no thought to the packaging, the thought, you know, the comms, etc. We've done a lot of episodes on this. You know, it sounds, you know, everyone, oh, they just want cheap pricing. Well, that's, price is a thing, absolutely, you know, and that's a thing. But good old-fashioned customer service. And I would say even more with the types of products you sell, you know, it's a, you know, it's not a sort of a box shifting sort of, you know, low end price point, is it? You know, it's a mixture, but it is, you know, it's in the, you know, in many terms, you know, multiple hundreds potentially, you know, so ultimately, you know, that value of repeat business as well is huge. So if you're not sort of making the go, wow, when they get that first order, you know, the impact on the second, third order that you're probably not going to get if you don't do, you know, you don't really sort of delight them. So yeah, oh, brilliant, brilliant.
It's just a huge point that we just love to focus on, and it seems almost cliche that you're like, oh no, we're really customer focused, but genuinely we are, and our Trustpilot sort of shows that, and it's just great to see it actually working through.
That's brilliant. So I think you know, we are deep in a sort of, the news isn't that great, shall we say, out there, you know, and there's a lot, little bit of, especially, you know, we've got this episode will be aired and Black Friday will have gone, it will be on Cyber Monday, as it's called, you know, and obviously there's a lot of chatter out there, you know, obviously around what different brands are doing, you know, whether that's, you know, discounting or doing nothing, you know, in some instances, in quite a lot of instances this year. But, you know, there's no doubt some challenges out there, you know, at the moment and in the foreseeable sort of months. You know, what are you guys putting in place over the next few months to overcome sort of potential shifts in any market?
Well, yeah, there's no denying that there's some sketchy times coming. And I think, yes, we're very fortunate. We're in a great place where we're growing, and maybe not probably at the same rate as if we're in a really nice, you know, year with loads of disposable income for everyone and everyone's happy. But I don't know if that ever happens. And it's for us, it's just, you know, we've got to do the best of what we can do with it. Cash flow is always on the mind when growing a business anyway, yet alone and seeing an increase in uncertainty. It's interesting. It can be scary, but for me, I just want to keep putting the pressure on and want to continue to grow the business. I think that when you talk about cash flow in this uncertain time, I think it's just smart buying that needs to be at the heart of this. Whether or not you're doing keyword research and you're sort of seeing what everyone's Googling, it sort of works. We're maybe a bit too niche to really use that as our key. But, you know, smart buying, trying to just use all the data you have possible to try and dig into what works, I suppose. But yeah, just collecting as much data to allow you to buy better is better.
Yeah, I think cash flow is a key one, isn't it, at the moment? Seeing where
Yeah.
thing, just keeping an eye on things. I think that's something that doesn't get talked about a lot on the podcast, to be fair, but it's absolutely key, especially coming out of what will be, it will be a busy time, no doubt. Definitely this now, this next few weeks. It's Christmas. Can't not be. But those bills potentially have then got to be paid usually in 30 days, 60 days, depending on the arrangement, so come January, February, when the bills need to be paid, as an eating, I'm talking to the listeners now, sort of thing, it's planning that cash flow, making sure that the juggling and the well, the forecasting is there, working with your accounts team, if if that's a if that's an in-house person, or forecasting, that's something we've spent quite a bit of time on last week in our business. And we've actually got a full planning day tomorrow, full day out of the office tomorrow, something that we do as a business, planning for next year. So we're not going to be in December yet, but we're planning. We've already done a lot of work on it, to be fair. But we've got a full five of the management team out of the office for a full day on Thursday, which is tomorrow, to plan January to December next year. So then, we're not walking in January to, oh, so what we're doing this year, it's planned ahead. It sounds obvious, but I would say the amount of people that are listening right now that, are maybe a little bit lax with their forecasting, especially their cash flow forecasting, to map out different scenarios. What if XYZ? Obviously, as listeners are listening in, they've got different commitments in terms of stock, different terms, whether that's 14 days to 90 days. It depends, depending on containers coming in. If we're talking about importing, that's potentially a whole another side of cash flow forecasting, depending on if you're how much you're paying up front, if you're paying anything up front, and how much you're paying when it lands. Are you paying, renegotiating terms, things like that? It's a bit late for that now, but yeah, no, I think cash flow forecasting and planning quite often, in a busy season that we're in, can get missed. So I think just making sure that we're not getting hit maybe in January and things calm down a little bit, obviously depending on the business, yeah, interesting stuff. So
It's it. I think it does seem really novel, but just stay close to your suppliers.
yeah.
Because if you like, for us, we're obviously quite seasonal with certain things we buy. So we may be putting a pre-order in for a year in advance, and actually just stay close to them, because you might not need to put in as much of a pre-order. You might be able to get some in-season stock, and if you're really trying to watch the cash flow, then yeah, allow it to spread through the year, and that'd be it's really sensible to do it. But I guess, as with anything, regardless if it's a challenging time, just make sure your website is optimized. Just make sure that everyone can see you, can have access to you, can buy things easy. Just do it in a premium way, because you are going to have to be different to everyone else, or game over.
No, great. So I know you work with ambassadors,
Yeah.
quite a big part of the business, I believe. It's not something we're involved with you with. We work on a few of the other sides, but what's working well with ambassadors for you? What are maybe some of the lessons you've learned? Some of the things that our listeners can garner from your experience.
Yeah, it's a tough subject, and I thought I was really onto something. And yes, I am onto something sometimes with ambassadors, and then the rest of the time, I sort of think, well, what a mistake. This is a lot of effort, and nothing's really come of it. But I think that's just the world of social media, I guess. But our idea is always to be different to any other company in the industry. And one of my favorite things to do at Valiant Peak is be different. I love to stock different products, to do my marketing in different ways. However, sort of trial and error certainly applies to ambassadors. It is so hit and miss. You can give out some really generously priced products, like some of our stupidly expensive sleeping bags. And yeah, okay, take this and do a shoot in the hills and see what you can do with it. But sometimes it doesn't matter how influential someone is. Sometimes that price point doesn't work. Sometimes the market just isn't ready for it. And sometimes you just don't get that engagement. So you can, I know it's just the cost of one product, but You know, if you keep doing over and over and keep missing.
If it's an expensive product, it's an expensive lesson if you're doing it 5-6 times and only one hits, maybe, but
it's so true. It's I don't know, we sort of just make sure that the kept's happy and busy at most of the time, because look, they work for free, or at least gear, and you know, we've got to run things like internal competitions where I mean, the last time we did like our ambassadors did a reel, and it was a competition just to win like a little stove or a pot. I can't remember which one it was. But
so a competition for the ambassadors, the person that, or the ambassador that got the most X from their reel, most views, I guess, or engagement with their reel, then won something.
And it's a nice internal thing to just I don't know, just keep people engaged, because that it's the hardest part, especially when we're growing. Like, I have loads of different hats. I mean, people that know me probably know that I have loads of hats. But I mean, it's, you know, I might be doing some marketing, I might be doing some sales, I might be doing some web developing bits. And, you know, before you know it, your time is stretched so thin that actually you need to rein it back in and think, right, well, what's important? These people are still working for free for me, or they're working for free gear, or, you know, there's loads of different arrangements that people have with ambassadors. So I'm not going to speak individually about them all, but it's really important to produce something great with them and keep that engagement piece going. Yeah. And at the same time, you're keeping your ambassadors happy, but you're creating an extra buzz for Valley and Peak. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I generally feel so lucky that I've got these people working with us. You know, it is tough managing them, but keeping their expectations in line with where they sort of feel they should be is pretty tough. It's really important to really manage that before it falls apart, and it can fall apart, and it has done with a couple of ambassadors, just because their expectations aren't the same as what they originally were. Because I mean, a lot of them have gone from being very small accounts to being quite large accounts.
Yeah.
Which is completely different. You know, 12 months later, they're a different person.
Yeah, yeah. So they started off as a small ambassador or a small influencer maybe, and now they've gone from, 10,000 to 200,000 or whatever the, you know, depending on what stats we're looking at. But so, you know, there's quite a lot of trial and error there, I think is what you're saying, you know. But obviously, you've been very successful with it. But like any sort of new channel, it doesn't matter obviously, we talk about all the channels on the podcast, and you know, and we manage many, many for clients, you know. And there's an element of trial and error, isn't there? As when we had our first phone call, you know, it wasn't right. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. It was like, right, let's do this one thing and make it work. But it took some, you know, it took some learning and some lessons and certain products to sell better. And actually, there's an issue with the UX. Okay, we can sort that out. And then, boom, you know, but it's not out the gate, press the button and leave it. Same as with, you know, the influencers and ambassadors. You're trying, build some relationships, you know, and some, you know, like any relationships, I guess, are better than others, you know. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, I guess, have you got any tips in terms of that initial sort of initially reaching out to people?
Yeah.
So you're there and you're trying to find somebody that you think would resonate with your brand and what you stand for. And that first connect, or that first DM possibly, what talk us through a couple of scenarios and a couple of bits of advice there maybe.
Yeah, well, I think it's tough for me to answer this one, because we were really fortunate that we had this pool of people that were either talking about us on social media.
So they're already talking about you, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. And I was already talking to them. I'd been on camps and hikes with these people already, and we were already engaging. So actually, it was quite easy to slip in. But I think that almost to the point of being a downfall, because I allowed it to be quite relaxed and I don't know the best way to put it.
Gave away maybe a bit more than you would have done if you didn't know them personally. Would that be the...
Yeah. I mean, to a point, absolutely. Yeah. It's, I think that, you know, things should have been done a little bit more black and white. And a lot of companies, including some of our brands, don't have contracts. Well, actually, you probably need a contract. And that's what I've sort of found out going forward. It's very tricky, but I think probably the best piece of advice for getting in contact with these these ambassadors is just introduce yourself like a normal human, because these are typically people that are doing these ambassador roles in their spare time. Like, they could be a health and safety executive. Like, you never know what these people are doing. I mean, we've got teachers, people in the government, gardeners, landscapers. Like, there's so many different roles out there. But ultimately, you only see this little ambassador role. Well, actually, no, they are just people in there. They just speak to them normally. And no doubt they'll treat you like a normal person too. You don't want to come across as a big corporate entity that just want to rinse money out of them. So
I think especially in your space, but I think, you know, it just doesn't connect, does it? Whereas, you know, you have a genuine interest in the products that you sell. That's partly where the business has come from, so when you're talking to these people, you know their language, if you like, you know, they're talking about going off on their, I don't know the language, but they're off on their weekend hike or their overnight, whatever you call it. But we're quite an outdoor family, but I would say not to your extent. You know, we go to the lakes 2-3 maybe times a year. You know, we've got friends that have got a house at the lake, so we're mad for the Lake District, and walking boots are always in the car. My sleeping bag days are probably over, to be fair.
Although, no, I feel like mine are coming, but no, it's just that draw back to what I love doing and what I love experiencing, and there's nothing like it. I mean, you know, you don't have to go far. We're in the Lincolnshire Wolds, of course, and you don't have to go far to experience a nice, quiet, peaceful retreat. You know, just taking yourself away and clearing your mind, and I think that's what these ambassadors sort of understand as well. Is this isn't meant to be taken overly seriously, because this is all about trying to do something you enjoy and relax while you're doing it.
Love it. So obviously some great stuff there, great ideas, but ultimately I think, like anybody listening, their industry and your industry is pretty competitive. You know, what would you say, you know, some of the things you've done to stay more competitive and be more competitive?
Big for us is just, and I think I'll probably just say it over and over, but just be different. We stock lines and brands from all over the world where our competitors don't actually venture. And it's really cool, because you end up getting like an exclusive without having to actually dive into exclusive contracts and deals, that sort of thing. I mean, I don't want to share too much, because it really is our secret blend of herbs and spices, as the Colonel would say. And it's what sets us apart, but it is ultimately be different. And it goes back to the whole, you know, it's a challenging time. Yeah. Be different to everybody else. Make your service better, make your service different.
Yeah.
Do shipping differently. You know, just be premium, and even if your products and services, whatever, not necessarily aimed at a premium client, just make everything premium. It's not difficult. It doesn't cost you loads to do it, but just do things better than everyone else.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So, website. Now, obviously, you invested, you know, we obviously met 18 months or so ago, and then, you know, circa a year later, say, for a simple timeline, you launched a new site. You know, what are some of the things you've done with the new site, you know, that you've incorporated into the new site that have helped it convert better than the previous ones, I think, you know, a lot of people will be listening. I know it, you know, I just know it. You know, there's people doing, you know, good numbers and crazy numbers, but their sites are still shocking, you know?
Yes.
So just, you know, the impact of an investment in brand and, you know, and in the website, you know, what are some of the things that you've done with the development team that you work with that's helped conversion and that's had a real impact?
Yeah, so I think getting this, obviously getting the site looking great is the main thing, like, and make it attractive for people to come see you. But being easy and clear for a customer to purchase something is, surely that's the key. Like, you don't want to hide things away. And I always try and spin it back to, well, what if this was like a physical store? Well, if someone can't see it, so you had a screen up of half across your store, Well, you're not doing yourself any favor. So make it clear, make it obvious, make it easy, and make it quick. We have cross-sell options on there, upsell options. So, you know, the customer can make an informed decision.
Yeah.
And especially what we're working with your SEO team at the moment is growing a blog page to make those informed decisions a bit easier as well.
Yeah.
So just, you know, you run that company, you're the expert on your products and services. So use your expert advice, let them see it. What's the point in knowing it all and not sharing it with your customers? So just, I don't know, just put as much effort into allowing that customer to flow through your site easy and just let them see your expertise, because not everyone's as clued up as you are.
Yeah.
And you really want to make sure that people can make those informed decisions where you're less likely to get returns and exchanges, because if you get it right the first time, then brilliant, job done. They're more likely to come back to see you as well. So yeah, that I think that's probably the easiest way to get people to convert is just make it easy for them.
Super clean, super clear. Yeah. Invest time in planning that navigation so you can find
things. Yeah.
Like you said about some of the, you know, brands that are, you know, maybe some of your secret sauce, you know, every listener, I'm sure, will have a, you know, they're not going to tell you what those products are, understandably, but, you know, let's have them out front and center. It's no good having them in the back room, if you like you would in the store, you know, we've got, or you might have them, you know, you would have them front and center in the store, wouldn't you, in a physical store? You know, these are the ones we've got extra margin on. We know there's only two people in the UK have got them. We've got 90 days credit on them. We've got, you know, we've got a nice pallet full in the back. We need to shift them and so on and so on. But we know when we do, and people are coming for those things. But if they can't find them, or they can't find content around them that's talking about them and comparing them to other things, then obviously then also gives them choice, potential upsell, cross-sell. Oh, they bought two coats instead of one. Damn it. You know.
Yeah.
My son's actually, he's a bit of a trader when it comes to not stocks and shit. Well, he is actually as well, but
good man.
But more on clothes and shoes. And he's just bought, I should have mentioned this off camera already, but he's just bought a certain brand of walking jacket. The name I don't know, actually. I'll find out and message you another day. But just to sell it again because of the man. But it's not a cheap thing. He paid £420 for this coat, you know, and he said he'll sell it for 500, no problem. But he's had it a week, so we'll see. But, you know, he's been doing it for about 2 years now, but more on trainers and, you know, Nike trainers and various branded stuff. But, you know, but the slight offshoot ones, or the, you know, the one that's limited runs, you know, certain brands, you know, some randomest things come to our house from all over the world, you know, and then he sells them on various places. But yeah, that investment in the UX, I think, is you know, you'll have sites and companies that are doing quite well, but it's when you start hitting a plateau, you know, and it's like, well, you know, actually, you know, that investment, I mean, just a good investment in good design and brand, I think, is so underestimated, you know. And it's quite a tough conversation with site owners and, you know, and marketeers and whatnot to, right, the site looks crap. you need to do
something. You know, it's an interesting one. It's really interesting. I'm surprised by how many people. And even last night, my wife was looking at buying something for Christmas. And she was looking through and like, oh, what about this site? And I was like looking with her. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, I know this company to be big. But why are you making it so difficult? Are you just optimizing for desktop? Or are you actually looking at your mobile customers as well, where probably I'd have quite a great guess that it's going to be the mobile customers are converting more.
Yeah.
So why the hell are you not optimizing that? And it's bizarre that people don't put time and attention into surely the most important thing, which is someone coming to your store, are they going to find it easy to convert? Because you wouldn't do it in a physical shop. And again, that's what I always relate things to. Would you do it in a physical shop?
Yeah.
If it's no, then we'll try and relate it back to the e-commerce world.
Just part of that, you know, if you think, well, if the site's this poor and the design's poor, yeah, they've got the product and maybe they're a quid cheaper than anybody else. But you know what? Is it going to arrive? My confidence level working or buying from that particular brand and that particular store, you know, I might just go over here. This guy's clearly, you know, this company has clearly invested more, not even the money thing, but, you know, it just looks more professional, doesn't it? You know, and your confidence in that brand, you know, and the story that brand's telling, you know, that it's highlighted social, you know, the interactions and things. Yeah, brilliant. So last couple of questions then, Jim. I think we will have quite a lot of people that are, especially it's quite a timely episode, Black Friday just gone. And they'll be looking at and planning for next year. And they'll be thinking about potentially working with an agency, on maybe their SEO, their PPC, their email, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What would be some advice, maybe? Obviously, I know you called us and we worked with you guys, but obviously you did some due diligence, I'm guessing, on us, and you had a and so what advice would you give to the guys that they're either maybe working with an agency now and thinking of changing, or exploring options, or somebody that's in a position where they're looking to start with an agency for the first time, what advice would you give to those people?
I think it's just really key to get on with them. That's probably the first part. Like, can you get on with these people? Because you've got to essentially trust them and talk to them every month, probably. I mean, in some cases, if we're working on something multiple times a day, can you get on with these people? So yeah, do your due diligence, have a look, make sure you can be happy and confident that you are, trusting someone with your marketing essentially. When I first joined VMP, it was, nothing was really looked into because it was a cottage company. We had a really great niche, we had a really good customer loyalty. And it was a really, really tough point to go, is this premium? Was it the best? Is it the best we can do? And when I ask myself these questions, I just know what the gaps I sort of need to fill. So it's not hard. You just put the effort in, find out what you need. And then, I found that we had two massive missing pillars, which were PPC and SEO. And it's like, oh God, right, okay. This sounds like it's going to be a lot of work. And yeah, it's a lot of work, but my God, when that switch just flicks, it's incredible. And then you realize, oh, well, this is how you do e-commerce marketing. and it's interesting, but you do land on the jackpot. And always used to tell Henry and my old account manager that every meeting that I had was like therapy. So I'd go into it being, oh, and I
Yeah,
mean,
so
he's
Henry's our head
exactly
of
after this.
PPC in the agency for those listening. Well,
He's
is he head of
fantastic.
therapy now, maybe? I'm not
Too
sure.
right. Honestly, it's to the point where, especially when you're growing and growing pains are horrible. You really do struggle, and especially not having a massive team around you. Like, who am I talking to? Well, I've got my parents that originally ran the business and still have an involvement in it. My father had
Yeah,
his other
I think
business as well. So
that's a brilliant
you've
point.
just,
Yeah,
it's so tough.
that is, I mean, I think there's a couple of things there I'd like to just roll back on. I think when you are looking for an agency or looking for some help, quite often you can speak, you'll speak to one person, that's maybe, in sales and there to sell you that service. But what you're saying is obviously you spoke to a few of the team here, that are on the account that would be on the account. And obviously we're on the account. I think you probably dealt with about five, six people here now, haven't you, over, that you're in different departments or, you still do sort of thing. But obviously there's people that are there that, process and talk to you and go through your requirements. And ultimately, to put it bluntly, they're in the sales side of that agency, but have those conversations and have conversations with the people you're going to be dealing with day in, day out, because they're the people ultimately that are doing the work or their team is doing the work with them. So yeah, you speak to your therapist before
Oh yeah.
before you press the button.
Honestly.
That's great. That I love the therapy.
Yeah. But it really is like that. I mean, like going back to the whole growing pains thing, like it can be incredibly tough, and especially if you're speaking to someone like Henry who has a lot of experience. And I mean, to be fair, I've even called you on occasions, just like,
I
I
remember
don't
it.
know what am I doing? Like, is this normal? And then even just saying, is this normal? You go, yeah, it's normal. But I'm not tech savvy at all. I don't understand it. Like, I know how to run my business and I know how to be different and I'm clever at marketing, I believe at least anyway. But don't try and do things yourself. Don't be so naive that you think that you can be able to do Google Ads or you can't do PPC on your own unless you have great experience, because you're going to be behind that curve constantly. And what are you going to put all the time and effort into that when you've got all the other things to do as well? So yeah, it's so important that I think people, unless they are of a scale and size where they can physically employ a team, because it's not one person, it's a team of people to do it, then yeah, you have to look at agency because they are the experts, they know how to do this, and yeah, wow, right. what a success story afterwards.
Well, thank you for that. It's been a pleasure. I do recall a couple of you know, obviously you've got my mobile, and we've had a couple of good chats, haven't we? And I think, you know, it's a point, and we'll just maybe just reinforce, you know, as a business owner, you know, our listeners are, you know, a high percentage of them will own an e-commerce store, you know, or and they'll run the marketing a bit, and they'll do a bit of this. Obviously, they do the buy-in, they're doing the tweak, they're doing a bit of this, a bit of that, you know, or they've got teams, you know, the whole raft of things. But ultimately, it's a lonely place. It can be a lonely place, you know, top of the pile, you know, running the show. And if you've got what I try to refer to as an agency should be your trusted advisor, you know, trusted advisors, you know, and you know, have a breadth of experience, whether that's for one service or the services that you're thinking of, you know, and having different layers of experience that you can call on. You know, we've had conversations, you know, about some thing, you know, some sort of a lot bigger picture stuff. You know, but obviously when it's in the down to the nuts and bolts and the 300 things you need to do in AdWords account, you know, that's not my expertise. Maybe 4 years ago it was, you know, it was definitely 4 years ago. You know, I'm not as hands-on now, but when it comes to big picture strategy, you know, that's my expertise. And, you know, but then we've got a layer of different people, you know, that you can call on. And that's, you know, you've got, when you're lying in bed at night thinking, you know, what's this, you know, these DPA Facebook ads, how's that going to work exactly? How's that type? Right, let's speak to Henry you know, and then you can plan that in for Q, whatever it may be, when certain KPIs are hit, and, you know, and then, you know, understanding that. And yeah, no, that's great. You know, really, really thank you for running through that, because I think a lot of people will be, you know, making decisions over Christmas and New Year as well, listen to this, and, you know, and this busy time around next steps around agency, and you know, and sort of, you know, maybe regrouping on a few things. So
I mean, just a final point, don't be naive. Like, I think we got caught short, I think, when we were much, much smaller, going, we can do this, and you try and save budget, but in realistic terms, you're not the expert on this, so, you know, put it in someone else's hands, and genuinely you'll see the benefit.
Yeah, well, that's a great point to end on. So I like to finish every episode with a book recommendation. Do you have a book that you would specifically recommend to our listeners?
I would, and I know your listeners probably want to hear a nice e-commerce book, but it's not going to be that. It is The Storyteller by Dave Grohl, and he's just God in my eyes, and there's so much you can use from his life experience, and what, I don't know, one hell of a book. That's some stories to tell. So yeah, read that one. The Storyteller, Tales of Life and Music, I believe it's called.
I'm a big fan of storytelling sort of principles and books and things like that. So yeah, I think that's that'll definitely go on. That'll be in the basket before this is edited out. Well, thanks, Jim, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. For the guys that want to find out more about you, more about the brand, what's the best way to do that?
So we're very strong on Instagram. So if you see us at Valley and Peak UK, or pop to Valley and Peak UK, and there's a little bit about us section where you can see our story and a little picture of me when I was a year old, maybe. On probably one of my first hiking trips. Yeah. Feel free to email me as well. Like, I know it's tough, and like we said before, like, you sometimes need to have someone to talk to. So jim@valleyandpeak.co.uk. Feel free. Whoever needs any help, I'm happy to be there.
Well, thanks, Jim. I genuinely look forward to you having a absolutely bumper quarter. And I think we're going to get you back on in 12 months' time, and we'll have like an update on the journey, you know, ahead of you know, what's going to be an interesting year. I think in 12 months time, it'd be good to get you back on, and we can chat. Great. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I look forward to speaking to you soon again. All right.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Richard.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Ecom at One e-commerce podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please hit subscribe and don't forget to sign up to our e-commerce newsletter and leave us a review on iTunes. This podcast has been brought to you by our team here at Ecom One, the e-commerce marketing agency.